Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It is indeed good to be here and be here amongst the brotherhood and come together and looking to see what the Lord has for us. We've been blessed with many encouraging words this morning, many challenges, and I'm so thankful for that. Thank you, each one of the brothers, for all that you have shared here this morning. I've just been so encouraged lately as to who the Lord is and what he has done for you and for me. And I want to share some of that this morning. So I think that a lot of the verses and things we're going to be looking at this morning are just really encouraging and should encourage us to be grateful and thankful and think on what is right and good. And we are so blessed. We are a blessed people. I'd actually like to look at Psalms 23 this morning. So for the title, it's pretty simple. The Lord is our shepherd. Just going to be looking actually at the first two verses there of Psalms 23. Most of us have Psalms 23 memorized. However, that does not mean that we really take the time to understand or much less put into practice what it is saying. There's an awful lot there in Psalms 23 for us. And I'd like to look at some of that this morning. It's so amazing how much like sheep we really are and how much we need a shepherd. When listening to it from a shepherd's viewpoint, it's so interesting to see how we pattern our lives so much like a sheep. I had, and probably many of you have at some point in time read the book, Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23. And I had read through that and read through it a long time ago and read through part of it again. And so some of the thoughts I have come from that book, and just a variety of other thoughts that I had are from other things. But just want to encourage us to look at why we find ourselves in trouble and how we have a shepherd that cares about everything that's happening to us. Before we go any further, let's bow for prayer. Father, we just thank you for being our shepherd. We thank you for all the good things that you have done for us and do for us each day. Thank you, Father, for the shed blood. We sang about that this morning, and we have read your word this morning, and we recognize who you are and what you have done for us, and we want to acknowledge that this morning and thank you for it. Open our hearts to your word, and may your word be real in our lives today, in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 23. I know most of us probably know that and can just recite that. Why don't we stand and recite that chapter? Let's all recite it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. Who is the shepherd to you? Is he bigger than all your problems? Does he care about all your problems, all your joys, all your cares, all your fears? What is your biggest fear, and do you really believe that you can trust your shepherd with those, casting all your cares on him, for he careth for you. That's 1 Peter 5:7. Many of the verses that we are looking at here this morning, possibly some of you have quite a few of them memorized. I know I have a lot of the stuff that we're looking at this morning sometime in my life. I might not know it by heart today, but they're all very real and should be very real if we want the Lord to be our shepherd. Maybe your past has gotten the best of you and you think he cannot fix the past. If the past is confessed, remember Psalms 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. Maybe you see something in the future that looks too big. Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. For these verses to be real in our lives, we need to know that we belong to Jesus. We need to know he is our shepherd. And of course, that's only true if you've given him your heart and your life and confessed all your sins to him. Do we really understand how big and yet how personal the Lord is to us? Is he personal to you when you have a fear, when you have a care, when you have a big problem? Are you able to go to him? I have a paper that I had put together with some things on it that Aaron and James, if you would hand them out. I'd like to go through some of this stuff, and some of this talks about who God is and how it applies to us if he is our shepherd. So as we go through this, let's think about who the Lord is and how he is our shepherd and how much he knows us. And that's a piece that Satan tries to trick us in. And so often our problems, our cares, our fears get so big that we can't remember that Jesus knows them and that he cares about us and that he loves us. So I actually have some verses typed out on this, and then we'll look down through some of these verses and what it means. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence, the fact of surpassing all others. Superiority, that's what preeminence means. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Verse 19, all the fullness dwells in him. What does all the fullness dwells in him mean? Completion, abundance, that which is filled with the power, riches of God and of Christ. 1 John 1:16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. That is a beautiful promise, and there is a lot in there. a lot more than what we tend to understand or meditate on or consider. These words tell us that there is fullness in Christ. There's a fullness of essential deity, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, Colossians 2:9. There's a fullness of perfect manhood, for in him bodily that Godhead was revealed. It's also in Colossians 2:9. There's a fullness of atoning efficacy. Efficacy, I think that's how that's pronounced. Power to produce in his blood. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. There's a fullness of justifying righteousness in his life. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. There's a fullness of divine prevalence in his plea. For he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. There's a fullness of victory in his death. For through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. There's a fullness in his resurrection from the dead, for by it we are begotten again unto a lively hope, 1 Peter 1:3. There's a fullness of triumph in his ascension, for when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and received gifts for men, Ephesians 4:8. There's a fullness of blessings of every sort and shape, a fullness of grace to pardon, of grace to regenerate, of grace to sanctify, of grace to persevere, to preserve, and of grace to perfect. There's a fullness at all times, a fullness of comfort in affliction, a fullness of guidance in prosperity, a fullness of every divine attribute, of wisdom, of power, of love, a fullness which it were impossible to survey, much less to explore. If we really understand this, we are lacking nothing. Too often, we get so wrapped up in whatever it is that's the problem, and we forget this. It's all taken care of in Jesus. To live in this day by day, through good times and difficulties, to let go and let God have his way in our lives, this is only available to those who have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's available to everybody, but we can't partake of it. We can't have that victory. We can't have all this fullness that it's talking about unless we give our hearts to Jesus. Just as God took care of the children of Israel at the Red Sea and led them across on dry ground, so is he for us today. I think we read a little bit about some of the things there that happened to the children of Israel. And these things are for us today, not just when we are in trouble, but every day, all day. How is it we get our mind off Jesus and start doing our own thing and then questioning why things aren't going right? Let us remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If that is true, then what are we chasing after? Why are we unhappy? Or always wanting something else? Verse 2 of Psalms 23 says, I shall not want. If we do not want, then we should be content. All the stuff that Jesus did for us, all the things that we just looked at, what else do we want? How are we like the children of Israel? God takes us into a new land, our new place in life, new job, whatever it is that God brings us into. Do we fret and kick and scream? Or do we submit to him and trust him? I must admit, I too often do the fretting and worrying and try to figure things out on my own. And then the Lord reminds me, he has it all taken care of. In the book I read, a shepherd looks at Psalms 23. There's a story about a sheep that was always on the lookout for trouble. Never satisfied with the green pasture supplied, he named that sheep Mrs. Gadabout. That sounds a little bit like us sometimes. This sheep was one of the nicest looking and healthiest of sheep. Just a perfect sheep. However, it was never satisfied. He stated that this one ewe, produced more problems than almost all the rest of the flock combined. Mrs. Gadabout had an ingrained habit of never being content and always searching for a loophole in the fence to go through and start to feed on the other side. What happens when we get to the other side? You always hear this, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence till you get there. He noticed that whenever the sheep got to the other side, the sheep ended up feeding on brown, bare, burned up pasture of most inferior sort. She never learned her lesson. And even worse, she started teaching her young ones to do the same. It got so bad that he had to get rid of her. Just like Mrs. Gadabout, we also try to go about it our own way. We go looking and are never satisfied or content with what the Lord has provided for us, what he has given to us. We end up living on a diet from the world that never satisfies. How easy is it for us to see the flashy things in the world, whatever it might be? And, you know, for children, it's one thing. For some of us young men, it's something else. Yeah, I'm a young man. There's just so many things out there that will catch our attention of the world. Why do we have to chase after them if we really understand what Jesus had and does for us? God called us here, and we must be content. If God wants us another place, he will show us, and we must not go running out of frustration, fear, or complaining. We must not be like the children of Israel, complaining. We must take our time and trust him. To run ahead on our own out of frustration, or to try to go because we must hurry and go about the work of the Lord, because can cause us to never be content or satisfied. And I do want to just state here that I'm not saying that God isn't calling us or doesn't call us to other places. And I'll explain, as some of this will come out more as we go through this. Could it be that sometimes the work of the Lord is finding peace and contentment in Jesus in our own lives? God doesn't call us all to run away, but calls us all to learn contentment with green pastures that he provides for us. There's nothing wrong with staying here where God has us and learning to serve the Lord right where we are, even in the middle of trouble. As a matter of fact, I think that if you stay put and work through things in your life, there's going to be trouble. But that doesn't mean that God didn't call us here. Finding contentment in the middle of trouble is a real blessing. I'm not always there. And I think that Sometimes we all struggle with that. But finding contentment in the middle of trouble is a blessing. We probably all agree that there's much work to do around here. I cannot help but wonder, why did God bring this fellowship here in this part of the world, here in Maine? It's a small part of the world where people need truth just as much as anywhere in the United States or anywhere in the world. I believe the world needs to see people living in contentment and peace. We know there's a lot of turmoil in this world. The people around us need to see that in the middle of all of that, we can be content and we can be at peace. Do we believe we have something to share with the world? Is the Lord our shepherd? Are we satisfied and happy with Him being our shepherd? If we can't be content, I'm not sure that we have that much to share with the world. A contented sheep is just a beautiful thing. I shall not want, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know, I've often seen it in many versions, and it's in my Bible. Those words, I will never leave you and nor forsake you, are in capital letters. I'm not exactly sure why that is, except it's a very important statement. In 1 Timothy 6:6-8, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Contentment is a blessing and can help us find peace and rest in the Lord. I am convinced that until we find peace and contentment in the Lord being our shepherd, it is somewhat futile for us to go out and try to share God's word with the world. If we can't be content, I think the world will notice that. There's a short story I came across, not sure where, but somewhere. A wealthy businessman was horrified to see a fisherman sitting beside his boat, playing with a small child. Why aren't you out fishing? Asked the businessman. Because I caught enough fish for one day, replied the fisherman. Why don't you go catch some more? What would I do with them? You could earn more money, said the businessman. Then with the extra money, you could buy a bigger boat, go into deeper waters, and catch more fish. Then you would make enough money to buy nylon nets. With the nets, you could catch even more fish and make more money. With that money, you could own two boats, or maybe even three. Eventually, you could have a whole fleet of boats and be rich like me. Then what would I do? Asked the fisherman. Then, said the businessman, you could really enjoy life. The fisherman looked at the businessman quizzically and asked, what do you think I'm doing now? Open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 6. I'd like to read first 9 verses there. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. There's an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires. Yet God does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity, and his years are many. But his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed, oh, sorry about that. This is vanity, and it is an evil affliction. If a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. For it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and its name is covered with darkness. Though it has not seen the sun or known anything, this has more rest than that man, even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. For what more has the wise man than a fool? What does the poor man have? Who knows how to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. A lot of truths here of what are we chasing after. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is true contentment if the Lord is your shepherd. A result of the Lord being our shepherd. In Acts 4:13, it says, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. A Christian should be strikingly a striking likeness of Jesus Christ. There should be a peace. There should be a contentment. A true sign of someone that has peace with God is not that he doesn't have problems, but that in the middle of his problems, his peace with God is not shaken. May that be true for us. The problems come, but we are not shaken. I desire to find that in my own life more and more. Contentment does not mean that we will not strive to have a closer walk with the Lord. It means we have learned to be satisfied with whatever state we are in. I don't mean state in America. I mean whatever, wherever the Lord has us. What builds contentment? An openness with God and one another, dealing with things that God shows us in our lives. So often we find ourselves trying to do things and keeping our lives so busy because if we're moving from one thing to the next so quick, we don't have to deal with these things back here. And I'm sorry to say that happens too often in our lives. We don't have to deal with struggles. We don't have to deal with sins because we're on to the next thing. And the world just plays right in with that, and Satan just loves to see it happen. We can just keep running and not allowing any time for God to show us what he wants to show us. John 16:33, I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. If the Lord is our shepherd, we can understand that. The troubles will come, but we know he has overcome the world. A few things that come into our life that cause us reason for discontentment. I talked already about keeping busy. We're dealing with things in our life and we keep busy. And maybe we're get up and we're reading the Bible and then we're hurrying through life. And maybe we look really holy. Maybe we say all the right things. And maybe we do a whole lot of good things. And maybe it all looks really good to everybody. And no one will know what the real issues are in our life. Keeping busy and not dealing with sin and issues in our life will not build contentment. They might keep us from being vulnerable. They will keep us to try to do more and more so that we can hide what it is that we don't want to deal with. The Lord is my shepherd. These things don't have to be a threat to us, but we will be able to deal with them without continually running. I have seen that many times in my life, and I think I've been guilty of it myself. There was a time, now this is in relation to people seeming to run from one thing, from one church to another, because then maybe they don't have to deal with things. There was a time in the Anabaptist church when I was young, and this may go on some places, I think it's kind of gone out of people just don't follow through with it anymore, probably for a good reason. But if I wanted to go from one church and go to another one, I could go to the other church, but I couldn't go and become a member there without a letter from the first church saying, this brother is in good standing with the church. This brother has been a good testimony, a good witness for the Lord. This brother has a relationship with the Lord, and we recommend this brother. This helped to keep people from running from issues that needed to be dealt with. Over time, I think that has gone. I don't know of churches that do that anymore. Maybe in a certain way they do, and that's good, and I would encourage that. It made it possible, and is happening at a rampant pace today, where people just run from one church to another and never find what they are looking for, because the real problem is here, or something that I'm dealing with in my life. They're not really finding God as their shepherd, and therefore always wanting something else. Some of these people can sound really spiritual. They might talk to you. They might talk to others. They might get up in the pulpit. They might just be in society. They might just look really good, and they might sound really spiritual. But there's something that's not right. I remember when I was young, looking back, I didn't understand it then, but now, looking back, I seen people leave the church, and I thought, what? Where are they going? Well, there's a whole host of reasons why they move on. And sometimes they might even say, God wants me to go here or there. Wow, doesn't that sound holy? What do you do with that? That may be true, but it may not be true. We really need to understand where we're at in our walk with the Lord before we decide to run here or run there. Another reason for discontentment is we can find ourselves looking to people as our hope instead of looking to God as our hope and salvation. There's this church over there, and that minister, man, he's really good. I think I'm going to go over there. People will let us down, and then we are shattered and look for someone else instead of finding our hope in God. Brother Melvin, Brother Emmanuel, myself, Beacon of Light, are not perfect. I don't think any of them would say they are. But you know what? Another person isn't either. Another person, place, church, isn't going to solve your problems. When we're not dealing with sin issues in our own lives, we will take these issues with us no matter where we go, and we will not find peace and contentment in another person, in another place, in another church. we may be able to go to another church and they may say, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, that's not for today, we can just have a good time, and then maybe we don't have to deal with the issues we're trying to deal, or that we should be dealing with. Or we may run to another church that says, if you do this, and this, and this, and you dress exactly like this, and you know, drive the right color car, or whatever it might be, that might look really wonderful. But that doesn't deal with the heart. In the long run, just moving on to a new location will still not bring us contentment, because that is not allowing the Lord to be our Savior, our Shepherd. And eventually, we're going to want something else. Another thing that I find happening that causes us to not be content is, and over the years I've seen this happen in different ways, you know, good books. You gotta have this book. You gotta read this book. Some book other than the Bible. This author, he's the one. If we're not careful, we are thinking more highly of the author than we are that, and we don't even know who that person is or what they are dealing with or not dealing with in their own lives. It's a lot of good books out there, a lot of, quote, good authors. Do we even know them? Do we know what they're dealing with? It's amazing what we can write in books. It's amazing what you can see on Facebook about people or social media. But you don't know the person. We know who wrote the book, the Bible. And we know it's truth. We know the brothers amongst us. And let us be careful what we run to. I'm not suggesting, again, it's wrong to read other books. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm suggesting let's be careful and find our contentment in Jesus and as our Savior and Shepherd. I find it interesting that we possibly have more books than ever in history, but possibly more discontentment than ever in history. Ecclesiastes 12:12-13 says, and further, my son, be admonished of these, by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. We can read a million books other than the Bible and may or may not know God's commandments. The Lord is the Lord and his word, your shepherd. What is happening in your life that you are not dealing with? I want to encourage you to spend more time with Jesus and his word. You may feel like that is not really meeting your needs. If time in his word and time with Jesus is not meeting your needs, I would encourage you, find a brother and sister, a brother or sister that's going to take you to the word and help you understand what is in there for you. If you do that, which I would encourage you to do that, if God's word, if your relationship with him isn't going anywhere, I would encourage you to do that. But be ready, because God's word or a brother or sister might point out something to you that, guess what, you have to deal with. If they want to take you to just another book or to drugs or to something other than truth in God's word, be cautious. Years ago, I had been dealing with, I may have mentioned this a couple times, but some depression, and I went and I was talking to a counselor, and right away, medication was the answer, supposedly the answer. And I knew that wasn't right. And I thank the Lord, I found another person, and they took me to the Word, and he helped me walk through some things in the Word that were so helpful. And God showed me truth, and that was the answer. Don't get me wrong, we can be in God's Word. We can know the Lord. We can have a good relationship with Him. We still might sometimes find ourselves stumbling. But if we know where to run, we have the answer. And I'm thankful for the brothers here. And I'm thankful for God's Word that is faithful. He always wants us to come back to Him, and His Word is our final source of peace and contentment. Nothing else in this world, no other people, things that try to tell you there's something other than God's Word that is the answer. Because nothing else is as solid and as real as God's Word and a personal relationship with Him. And I'm thankful for that. And I still need you brothers and sisters and others. But most times, those brothers and sisters and others will say, or should say, what about the Word? And then we can trust them. May we find the Lord as our shepherd, and then we shall not want. Thank you for your time.